views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Start the adventure. Live the dream. International living, exploring, investing, and retiring. Light on Living Abroad shines the spotlight on how life can be better with life abroad. We'll explore owning investment properties in emerging markets, how to manage those assets effectively to increase your wealth. You'll learn the important steps involved in buying, renting, and building overseas. With safety lifestyle lessons and guidance to where to enjoy the most beautiful scenic locations, you'll discover where your best international investment property is waiting for you. Light on Living Abroad takes you there. Welcome on board.
And welcome everyone to Light on Living Abroad. Oh, goodness. We are back for another fun show. We've got Dean Studebaker here with us, COO of Compass Group International, number one real estate consulting firm in Costa Rica. He's a featured guest speaker throughout Latin and Central America, and he's based in Costa Rica and Thailand, currently working with developers throughout Latin America and the Caribbean, specializing in working with developers, investors, and brokerages from Latin America to Asia on projects from tax-free zones, hotels to high-density affordable housing, which we talked about last episode. He's a regularly featured host on HGTV's House Hunter International, the number one real estate TV show for the HGTV network. And finally, he's currently working on a new TV show, Living on $1,000 a Month. So hello and welcome back again, Dean. I'm excited for this show because last one was so fiery.
Hola, mi amiga. ¿Cómo está?
¿Cómo será? Tapia. I added French in there because I don't know how to say it the other way. How should
yes,
I answer?
I'm fired
what
up. Let's go. Let's get this party started.
You've had the margarita this time. See, last show you're saying I would like one.
Margarita's a Red Bull, baby.
No, I cannot promote that. You know that. So anybody listening, I cannot stand by that. Yes, I know. I often forget to say who I even am at the beginning of the show. But just to remind you, I am a holistic nutritionist. And this is why really, actually, Dean, I love speaking with you because the areas that we, that wherever you travel to are pretty much blue zones. And let's actually talk about that right now. So Costa Rica is a blue zone. Share with us, what is a blue zone and why, of course, I would love that the most.
Well, one of the things that makes Costa Rica a blue zone, and it's a, I always have a hard time saying the word. I call it the centurion zone because you just live longer in Costa Rica. And when you look at maps around the world, if you Google, if anyone wants to Google blue zones and what is the blue zone and all that kind of stuff, you'll always see that really Costa Rica is really the one place in the Western Hemisphere that is as a country. There are various counties that get designated blue zones like throughout the United States and I'm sure up in Canada, but for a whole country, Costa Rica is, if I'm not mistaken now, maybe something's changed in the last year or so that I don't know about, but Costa Rica, I'm still pretty sure is the only country in the Western Hemisphere as a country that is considered a blue zone. And its mortality wow. rate there is just off the charts. People just live longer there. It's just they eat clean, you know, their food intake is much cleaner. They just lead a much less stress-free life. That's what the whole Pura Vida, when you hear people say Pura Vida, that means pure life. That's kind of a coin phrase from Costa Rica. And the other thing I like to explain to people to understand that is, we all know, like, every year, right, and you'll appreciate this being an animal lover, every year there seems to be, like, the new animal that everybody's really, like, oh, this is, like, the new cute animal. Well, over the last year or two, the new global cute animal is the sloth. And because everywhere you turn to, whether it's Disney movies to Geico commercials, there's right. a dang sloth on it, right? That just moves right. super slow and all this stuff. Well, that's what Costa Rica moves at its own pace. They're not in a hurry. They They eat really well. They eat very clean, organic style or organic food. They don't have a lot of chemicals or additives, steroids, none of that stuff in their food. That's why I was joking with you when I saw that stuff the other day on your social media about cows.
Yes.
When you look at cows in Costa Rica, they look like they're all bulimic and anorexic, but that's they're
yes.
not. They're just everything's grass fed. They just they don't feed them and they don't stuff them full of, you know, you get a cow right. and you get a cow in the United States, the thing, you know, like Arnold Schwarzenegger cow, right?
So yeah.
You go
yes.
down to you go to Costa Rica, the cows are like, God, give this cow a cheeseburger, please. He looks like he's sick. But no, they just they only eat grass. And they don't stuff them full of all this crap. So that's part of the reason why Costa Rica is a blue zone is because they just have a much healthier lifestyle when it comes to eating and exercise than most other places in the Western Hemisphere.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing up the cows. And first of all, yes, I'll wrap up the Centurion because if right now I no longer, as even Canadian, I'll have to say this, I no longer want to live. I used to say, no, I'm going to live to about 104, 113. That was my window I gave myself. But I'm actually pulling back on that because I don't want to live that long. It's not even the fact that I don't believe I will. I believe I could. It's just that the way, you know, just everything about it, what you're saying and what I believe to be is in Costa Rica, the people are just happier and they enjoy their life. And so, of course, you'd want to live that long. And exactly what you said about the cows. I do recall when I went down to Central America for the first time, I was devastated at first. I was really nervous. I was really scared. And I kept thinking, oh my gosh, all these cows, I have to save all these cows. They're all starving. They're all anorexic. And then lo and behold, find out, no, that's what cows look like. And then that was also the only country and only time that I've ever been was able to eat beef and not be sick. So I love what you've just shared there. And I have a really important question. Nothing about anything else other than sloths, because I would love for you to help put my mind at ease and everybody else's. I did see a video about sloths, how they said that they don't like to be touched and it's actually not nice. They don't want to be touched and it's harmful to them. Is this true?
Well, yeah, but that goes with every animal that's a wild animal. It's one of the things that, if you find a wound, if you find a baby fawn on your property, you don't want to touch it because once you touch it, it has the smell of a human being on it. And then that makes it, you know, that turns the animal into an outcast, so to speak, because the smell of a human being stays on it. So it's not just much sloths in general, but any wild animal, whether it's a puppy wolf to a puppy bear cub to a little fawn deer, you don't want to touch them as a human because that smell stays on them. So when other, you know, when other bigger bears or bigger wolves come around and they smell the human on the animal, things can get a little bit rowdy in the neighborhood there because they don't like that. So you try not to go and pet. Now, when you're in Costa Rica, when you're like in the sanctuaries and stuff like that, that's a completely different because they're never going to be released into the wild. But when you're out there, you just don't want to go and start trying to grab a sloth. And, you know, mainly because one, sloths, if you look at a sloth, they have those really long fingernails, those really long claws. And when sloths feel like they're going to be attacked, they can get pretty fast when they know they're going to be attacked. So you never want to just approach one and go, hey, cute little sloth here, and I want to pet the monkey. I want to pet the sloth. Next thing you know, you're getting rushed to the hospital because you're a dummy. And that sloth said, get away from me, jerk. Don't touch me.
Right. We want to show respect.
To the guy grabbing them.
Yeah. So when you're out there, you look at the beautiful birds, which they're known for, look at the beautiful slow sloths and just leave them alone. Now you actually, I mean, yes, you're down there all the time. So we know that you're comfortable and cozy and that's your choice, but you actually have clients who you've helped either walk them through the whole process of from beginning to end, invest in property there or just friends, you know, or something. Cause I'd love to hear some stories about how does this work out for other people? Cause we know it worked out for you, but what about for other people?
Yeah, I mean, we've helped over, I don't know what the exact number is. I know it's over 300. I don't think we've cracked the 400 barrier yet, but we're somewhere in between 300 and 350 whether they were investors or actual expats. And what people do when they go down there, and I have yet to have anybody move back. Everybody that's moved down there has actually turned it into their or they've managed it, or they've maintained it as their permanent vacation home with the hope that when they retire, they'll eventually move there more permanently. Or we have expats that are down there, literally that is their, that is now their home. I mean, it's the typical, they came down there, they bought a house, they're never going back. It's no different than the typical story of you went on vacation down to Margaritaville. Next thing you know, you're just bartending at some beach resort down the beach. And you just say the hell with it and you never leave. I mean, that happens all the time. You see that depicted in movies. It is reality. But people come down there. I've had one family came down there. It started out as a vacation home, but then after they went home and they brought their kids back for the first family vacation, the kids loved it so much that the kids told the parents they wanted to live there permanently. So the parents went home, they sold their house in the United States, and they took care of the educational transfer stuff, which is a long conversation, but it's very easy to do. And the kids came down, and they were, I think, 10 and 12 at the time. And the oldest one's just graduating high school down there in Costa Rica right now, because I just got an email about that the other day. So aww. I have families that have come down there, and they used to be just a vacation home, but the kids are like, yeah. We don't want to go back to freaking Ohio. It snows there. We want to stay here, you know. And next thing you know, I've had family stay there because the education system's good. I have other people, young retirees, millennials, Gen Xers, that have all retired early because they went down there and they're able to do their work. They telecommute at work here in the United States, meaning they really just worked off of their computer at home anyway. So they didn't need to be in an office environment. So they're down there now, and they're doing their work that they do up here in the United States, but they're located out of their house in Costa Rica. I actually have a webmaster from one of the largest public universities in the world. I won't name which one it is because that will kind of out mm-hmm. him, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But one of the largest public universities in the world, the webmaster, I sold him a condo probably about 5 years ago. He comes up maybe once a quarter for his quarterly, you know, meetings or faculty meetings, and he just has to be there for that. But other than that, he runs one of the most popular, most well-known major global universities on the planet, a brand name that everybody would know. He runs that entire school living in at a condo in the beach in Costa Rica. I mean, he keeps the whole operation going. Their websites, I mean, everything that has to do with their computer systems, he does off of his laptop in Costa Rica. So, I mean, there's all kinds of things that can be done.
You know, you just made me think of this for a second when you said some people even purchase it in the beginning and then continue their life, but they are planning to retire there. So, you know, could be 10 years out. It could be 5 years, 2 years, 20, doesn't matter. A lot in my world, because, you know, I'm doing everything in the wellness and everything. I know we do a lot of retreats and you go down and maybe it's like, oh, there's going to be a retreat in Costa Rica, 10 days, 7 days kind of thing. What if, let's say, I'm going to give you an example. What if I decided, you know what, I'm going to run a nutrition retreat. I know that doesn't sound like everything. Like, what? Diet and retreat does not work. But no, maybe I'm going to run a food retreat. And I do that. And I think, oh my gosh, this is totally for me. I'm going to do this. I want to invest in a property. I'm going to purchase a property now. And I know specifically that I'm going to be running my business at, like, I'm not renting space anymore. I'm purchasing my own. Is there a tax or something that I have to pay extra or different? I know, Pierre, if somebody says, oh, do you have your internet for business or pleasure, personal or whatever, there's a different price. So is there a different price when Costa Rica knows if you're going to be running a business out of it versus just living?
I'll give you a couple of examples, but let me give a disclaimer. I never want to ever really discuss any kind of tax issue. I mean, I will discuss what taxes are available or what taxes are required. Mm-hmm. But as far as I'm not an accountant, so I can't give specific tax advice.
Gotcha.
But from a retreat standpoint, I have two good examples. I actually have a lady right now that I helped buy about an acre and a half of land. And she's building three separate houses on the property. And she's basically, her and her partner are life coaches. They're out of Texas and, they're building that. And then they're going to bring, you know, they run their business out of Texas, but, they want to be able to offer a different offering to their existing clientele in Texas. Like, hey, if you want the VIP package of our services, that will include once a quarter being with us down at our property in Costa Rica, et cetera, for a week. So I have that going. I have a handful of other people that I help with that do surfing retreats, that do yoga retreats. They tie in nutrition usually with those. Some of them just rent out. They rent out hotel space, or they'll work with certain local hotels that will give a special rate for these groups because the facilitator, the teacher, the instructor is bringing, 20 people or whatever. So there are certain hotels that work with them. And then there are people that there are houses that big, via Airbnb type thing where, people will, come down once a quarter to do a surfing retreat or something. And they'll just rent, maybe like an 8-bedroom house or a 9, something that maybe houses 12, 15, 14 people. And then they'll spend the week there. They'll charge their fee, whether, $2,500 a person or whatever. And during that whole week, that includes their food and transportation and then whatever's left over for the instructor, they pocket, et cetera, et cetera. As far as them claiming that on their taxes within Costa Rica, do they have personal income tax here? If you're running a business, yes. Do everybody, should they file it? Yes. Do they? I don't know. Sometimes no. Now they have to pay taxes, obviously, if they're doing that kind of business in the United States. But again, that gets back to whatever they choose to mm-hmm. do is on them. The offers are, there's no restrictions that says you can't be someone like you being a life coach and tying it into nutrition. There's no one that says that your 10 best clients there in Toronto, they want out of the freaking snow, which I don't know how you bear, but they want out of the snow, right? And they want a week in Costa Rica. And so they come to you and they say, Lisa, can we take this show on the road? Let's go sit on the beach and talk about life in Costa Rica rather than in 10 feet of snow. Yes, that's absolutely not a problem. It's actually very popular and very easy and seamless to set up and operate.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I love hearing an acre and a half. Wow, three houses. I'm gonna have to find out who this is when they're all set and I can start referring people. But so with that, I love these success stories because I think that really helps people going, okay, they're listening to the show, they're thinking about this, they've maybe been, they come back and they go, how the heck? And I know that you're saying it's so simple and it's so easy. And as you said, the right person, definitely. So I've got to highlight Compass Group International here. But in saying that, really, how long could it take? How long is it from start to finish, the idea? I mean, supposing that it finds some
concept to reality?
Yes. There you go.
Reality, right? Concept to reality is if you fly into the country and after a couple of days there, you're like, dang, man, I don't want to leave. I'm staying here. I'm going to fly home to pack the rest of my stuff up and come back. What do I need to do to make that happen? Okay, fine. Go talk to me. A, go meet with, go meet the lawyer, start the paperwork. You're incorporated, blah, 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 24, 48 hours. You're ready to go.
Oh my gosh.
So
what?
It's that simple. Yeah, it's literally that simple. Here's a check for $500, $600, whatever the, specifics of the corporation might be. That's just an average cost to set what you need up. But that can be done in 24 to 48 hours. Just as long as you have certain paperwork on you. If you don't, you can at least get the process started and go back home, and then you can send the rest just via email type thing. For the most part, what you need to set up a corporation, you already have, because you really just need a passport and a second form of ID. But most people travel with passport and their driver's license. So if you have that and you can, you can transfer money into the legal, the lawyer's account. Yeah, the minute you hit the airport, by the time you're done with your vacation, I can have your corporation completely done, a bank account open for you in your corporation's name, a cell phone set up in a local cell phone system or local cell phone activation completely set up in your name to where you can operate, on the local, cell phone system. It's all very easy. Again, the lawyer will take care of everything. You just got to sign.
You're literally making this sound like it could be an impulse buy. Even that's crazy. But
it happens all the time. Yeah.
I know that we have 30 days to close, 60 days to close, all that kind of stuff. What's a typical closing date when you finally get the property that you like?
Same thing. You're looking at about 30 days worth of close. But I mean, a lot of the purchases in Costa Rica are cash purchases, so that makes it a little bit faster. If you purchase a property and, by the time you get home, do some of the paperwork stuff, send some of the paperwork stuff back, get a title company like Stewart or First American Title Company, everything's all set up. And yeah, you're looking at 3 weeks, 4 weeks tops. And then it's done. It doesn't drag on and on and on. like can happen in the States. It's basically it's the same system. It's really just the same system. And there's not that, like I said, in many cases, it's actually a lot easier.
Okay. And what about availability? Like, are we running out of good wines and stuff, or still lots to go?
Yes, there's still availability in Costa Rica. Okay. The country doesn't have a big sign out in front that says no more buyers, turn around and go back. It's not there. I've tried my hardest to get us to that level, but I haven't been able to pull that off yet. If I can pull that off, you can still do another
300.
Yeah. So there's plenty of opportunities in every country in the world. There's plenty of opportunity to buy in.
Okay. I like to hear
Nobody's closed for business.
No, you know what's funny? Because when you do watch those shows, and I like that because I had to buy waterfront property for this price, and it's very difficult, and they're running out. So yes, that's a neat thing. So this time always flies so fast with you. When we're talking about Costa Rica, we have to just highlight some of the beautiful things. Give us some sunset conversations and birds and those springs, the hot springs. Like, there's just so much to do there. What are some things that you know that everybody has to do while they're there, and make them fall in love with Costa Rica?
Right. Which Costa Rica has a whole lot of typical, you know, like marketing catchphrases that kind of generate it or that, you know, personify it. One of the things is it's the most biodiverse country in the world in terms of by the time you add the square miles of the country, it's land mass size as far as within the world, right? Costa Rica, I think, is like 0.03% of the world's land mass is actually Costa Rica, but 5% of the world's biodiversity actually lives in Costa Rica. The amount of the variety of different bird species, animal species, insect species that live in Costa Rica is just off the charts on a quote per capita basis or based on the size of the country. The amount of plant life and wildlife and the variety of it that there is just the most intense place on earth. Hot springs, yes, there's volcanoes throughout the country, and then right anywhere there's volcanoes, there's hot springs. And I can tell you right now, when I grew up in the Bay Area, California, and you know, obviously in California, you hear of Calistoga up in the wine country and all the hot springs. Let me tell you, there are resorts and there are hot springs down in Costa Rica that make anything in the wine country look like third world. I'm telling you this. You go to some of these hot spring locations up in Costa Rica, there are these just amazing hot springs that are just spread throughout the jungle. And you just walk in and out of these various hot springs, all under the canopy of just thick rainforest jungle. And to boot, you have a waiter or a waitress coming by offering up cocktails the whole time. And then it makes it even that much better. So it's just, it's amazing when you go up to the volcano areas and the hot springs. The beaches are obviously world-class, absolutely stunning beaches. And like I said, then you have the rainforest, you have the biodiversity, you have the jungle, you have the volcanoes, you have everything in Costa Rica. The cloud forest, which is always pretty intense to go into the cloud forest, which is basically this, there are certain parts of Costa Rica where there's that white misty cloud that just never leaves. It's always like when you see people that are, if you've ever watched the movie King Kong, when you go to Skull Island and King Kong, there's always like that layer of fog and cloud that hides it from the rest of the world. Well, that's kind of like in Costa Rica. You have these whole, at the end of the day, the whole concept of Jurassic Park was from Costa Rica. Jurassic Park concept is from Costa Rica. Yeah. So
oh, my
that's
gosh.
That's the whole concept of Costa Rica. Yeah. I mean,
the whole
premise of Jurassic Park initiated or, you know, it's part Hawaii, but it's also Costa Rica as well. So when you're in Costa Rica, you see all kinds of, you know, when you're driving throughout the country, you see all these different little rest stops and areas that have big dinosaurs there and stuff like that, because the whole concept in Coco Island, which has actually was in the news the other day because a lady was got killed there not too long ago because she was diving with the sharks there and she managed to upset one of the sharks and the sharks ate her. But that's a great story. But like when you see there's a lot of photography in Jurassic Park. A lot of it's Hawaii, but a lot of it's also Coco Island, which is an island that's about 300 miles off the coast of Costa Rica. That's almost every year. It's always right there as being voted one of the next wonders of the world. So sooner or later, Coco Island will become one of the new wonders of the world. But that's a lot of the scenery of Jurassic Park movies is the outside scenery or the aerial scenery of Coco Island itself. So that's where our Jurassic Park was kind of born. It's this uninhabited island out in the middle of the Pacific off of Costa Rica. It's Costa Rica's territory. And that's like where, that's where the hammerhead shark and tiger sharks make their, that's like their home base, throughout the world. I mean, that's like the mother's den where you want to, and some of the top divers in the world go to that location, because that's where the hammerhead shark and the tiger sharks, that's their main mating ground is Coco Island. So, but it's just amazing. So there's so many amazing, wonderful things in the country to see, from just a nature standpoint. It's also always told, or the other, catchphrase, it's the number one ecotourism country in the world. So any of the ecotourists out there, that love ecotourism, that's Costa Rica is the number one destination in the world for the whole ecotourism, you know, travel sector.
You know what? Right now, there's so many. I feel like I've seen a movie watching them and hearing you say this in my brain. And what's kind of neat is that I think another thing, having be a blue zone and having so many interesting things to look at and healthy and stuff, I'm thinking of the price of organic foods in my world, which I do support because I'd spend the money just for to know and have those beautiful, healthy, nutrient-dense foods in my body. But there, you don't have to pay those prices. And because of the ecosystem you're talking about, because of the soil preservation and the constant, like that rainforest and whole, having all everything just be preserved almost, everything must taste, like the fruit must taste that much more intense. I don't know. I've heard that it does a little bit, but just, I guess, even the cost that you'd save from not having to buy organic, because
The flavor intensity is so much better from the, you know, like-minded food. So if you're eating a piece of fruit or something like a banana there as compared to a banana we would get, you know, that type of thing.
Right.
Everything is just so much better. And obviously the fish is just, you know, fish to the plate. You know, I mean, you get fish, boom, it's on your plate, you know, the same within hours. Chicken is the most amazing chicken in the world is in Costa Rica. I mean, it's just by far. You eat chicken in Costa Rica, because, I mean, it's just the flavor of the chicken, because they're not all juked up with steroids. There's no Tyson chicken down in freaking Costa Rica, right? It's just the chicken is amazing. So I love the chicken more than, you know, the chicken's out, I mean, just out of this world. It's taste, flavor, and everything. And then, like I said, it's just very organic because the chickens there just are, they're not juked up, like, full of steroids and antibiotics.
And they're happy.
Kind of stuff, so
walking around happy.
Yeah.
But you know what? I just love that you're such a fan of Costa Rica and clearly hear this. And I hope that everybody is just kind of getting that bug to at least explore it, to look at it and to realize how easy it is to travel, to invest, to, you know, retire and all those things. I really believe that everybody out there is getting as excited as I am about this. And thank you so much for sharing just your passion about it, but the ease and the knowledge and just the history that you have with the people and putting those 300 to 350 people there. That's amazing. So thank you for sharing that with us about Costa Rica today.
You're more than welcome. Thank you for allowing me to talk about it.
Aw, we'll see you next time we have you on for Costa Rica.
I'll be ready.
Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye. Thank you.